Of the 102 recorded episodes of Hancock's Half Hour, 20 are missing from the archives. But to coincide with the show's 60th anniversary, five of these episodes have been remade for Radio 4, starring Kevin McNally as the lad himself. So for the first time since 1956, here's Hancock's Half Hour, the newspaper.
This is the BBC Light Programme. We present Tony Hancock, Bill Kerr, Sidney James, Andre Mele and Kenneth Williams in...
Hancock's Half Hour.
More coffee, Tony?
Yes, please, Andre. Another plate of Wheaty Bangs and the top of the milk.
Well, that's the last of the package. You'll have to buy some more.
Nonsense. You never buy things like that. You write a letter to the makers complaining about something. Say they were too dry, you found a rusty nail inside the packet. They'll send you half a dozen packets just to keep our mouths shut.
Well, here's the morning's post.
Oh, yes, let's see. Football pools. Football pools. Football pools. Football pools.
Tony, we get coupons from every football pool in the country and you don't do any of them. Why don't you tell them to stop sending them?
Well, I've nothing to light the fire with. Let's see, what else have we got? Open immediately. The contents of this envelope are worth eightpence. Oh, throw it away. No, wait a minute. There's an appeal for contributions to some society here. Place donation in enclosed envelope. Our representative will call and collect it. Hmm. I know. Put the envelope that's worth eightpence inside this one. There, now everybody's happy. Ah, it makes one feel good to give to charity. I'll go.
Ah, good morning, sir. I've come to collect your donation to the charity, so if you'll just hand me the envelope with the money in...
All right, William, you can take the beard and the false nose off. You're not fooling anybody.
Well, I've got to get hold of some money somehow.
I don't approve of your methods.
Oh, it's a great racket, Tom. No overheads. Just a few bob to get the envelopes printed, half a dollar for the kid to poke them through the doors and go around and collect them. It's the easiest touch I've ever got...
Stop! It's disgusting. You would be ashamed of yourself stooping to such trickery, taking advantage of decent, honest charities. I don't know how you've got the nerve to... How much have you made?
£17, 12 and sixpence. Mm. And I've still got the other side of the street to do yet.
£17. That's nearly double what I made on the flags outside the tube station last week. Come in, have a cup of tea. I'll come out with you when I've finished opening my letters.
Oh, the poster's arrived. Anything for me?
No.
Why don't I ever get any letters?
You don't know anyone who can write.
Well, that's true.
Well, what about your family in the bush?
No, they can't write. Half of them can only speak in grunts.
Hello?
What?
Who's this letter from? I don't recognise the handwriting. Master Anthony Hancock. Oh, he's going back a bit. I haven't been called Master since I was 12.
Yeah, that's a funny stamp on it. What is it?
It's a Queen Victoria penny black. It's a bit out of date, isn't he?
Open it, Tony. Hurry up.
Well, 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 would you believe it? He's still alive.
Oh.
Me great-uncle, Palmerston Hancock. I thought he'd turned it in ages ago. He must be 93 by now.
Haven't you kept in contact with him?
No, no, no. He hasn't spoken to me for 2 years now. Ever since I gave him out at the cricket match. This accounts for the penny black. He's never advanced with the times. In 1950, he wrote to the papers asking if the South Africans had let young Churchill go yet.
Now, come on, read what he has to say.
Where's me horn rims? I can't read without me horn rims.
Well, why not? You haven't got any glass in them.
I know. They made me look intelligent.
Read the letter.
Fleet Street, February the 3rd.
Fleet Street?
Oh, yes, Uncle Palmerston runs a newspaper. Been in Fleet Street all his life. Well, we'll show how old he is. Hannon Swaffer was his cub reporter. He says, dear niece... oh, dear, his memory's going as well. Dear niece, last week I celebrated my 93rd birthday, and it was when we had to send for the fire brigade to put the cake out that I realised I'm getting to be an old man. I must begin to think seriously about retiring. I don't intend to work all my life. I would like to keep the Sentinel. That's his newspaper. I would like to keep the Sentinel in the family, and as you are my sole surviving relative, I am reluctantly forced to consider you as my successor. Please come along to my office, and we can talk about it over a cup of beef tea. Yours, out of respect for your father, Palmerston Hancock.
Oh, gee, that's great, Tom. You owning a newspaper.
Yes, yes, I rather fancy myself as a Fleet Street tycoon. Of course, I'd have to be raised to the peerage, you know. Lord Beavercock, that'll do.
What sort of a newspaper is it?
I don't know, I've never read it. Well, come to think of that, I've never read any of them. Last time I read a newspaper was when we took the lino up.
No.
No. I tell a lie. I sometimes lean over the counter at the fish and chip shop and sort of screw me head around. But apart from that, nothing. Fluke, Giles and Rupert, that's me lot.
Well, you better learn something about them before you see your uncle.
Oh, I'll be all right. I know what it's all about. I'm no mug. I've seen it all in the films. Hold the front page. Give me the city desk. I got a story that's going to bust this town wide open. Oh, yes. And all those big printing presses pounding away there and all the newspapers that turn itself round and gets bigger and bigger and then stops dead in the middle of the screen so you can read the headlines. Yes, I've seen it all. Don't worry. I'll meet him on his own ground.
Well, this is Fleet Street, but I don't see any Daily Sentinel building.
Oh, it's here somewhere. Must be one of these great big buildings. Paper as big as the Sentinel. Let's see. There's the Telegraph, the Express, Evening Post, Reuters.
Hey, how about that big one way down the end of the street? What do they print?
The Church Times, possibly. It's St. Paul's, you ignorant buffoon.
Ask somebody, Tony. That policeman, he's bound to know.
Oh, yes. Excuse me, Constable. Can you direct me to the offices of the Daily Sentinel?
Oh, yes, well, if you go down the, as far as the, no, I'm wrong, go the other way. Come here. You see where my finger's pointing?
Yes.
Well, you take the first, second...
The second.
Third, no, that's not it. Let's turn around.
All right.
If you was to, down as far as, and turn left, oh, I should know this. I've been here 30 years. take the, by the, and then, yes. If you sort of, I can tell you the time.
I know the time! I want to know where the Daily Sentinel is.
Yes, it's down here somewhere. You're in the right street, I'll tell you that. Yes, of course, the Daily Sentinel. Fancy forgetting where that is. Where's me bearings? Straight along the, first right, first left, up the alley, first right, first left, through the swing doors, up the stairs, third floor. No? No, that's the police station. I thought the room was...
Well, look, don't bother. Most kind. We'll find it. It's all right.
No. That's what I'm here for. The Sentinel. Let's see. Let's sit on the curb.
Oh, all right. Spread your cape out. It's a bit frosty, isn't it?
I've got my street map here somewhere. Now.
Ah, yes. Spread about. Bring Ludgate Circus around my end a bit. That's it. Now, there's Temple Bar, the Law Courts... I like laying on my stomach, don't you? Now, we're just halfway up Fleet Street, so if we... Get your legs out of the road, that bus wants to go past.
Now, where are we? Now, if you go along here, past the horse trough...
Yes.
And, no, it's better to, sort of... I don't know, though. You could get to it by, what were we looking for?
The Sentinel!
Oh, that's it! The Sentinel! I've seen it, that's the annoying bit, walk past it every day, but I can't quite place the, would you like a sandwich?
No, I don't think so.
Cheese and pickle?
Oh, all right then, if you don't mind. I'm not robbing you, am I?
No, the wife always puts a few in me helmet before I come out.
Yes, very, very nice too, I like a nice bit of bunghole.
Here it is.
What?
The Sentinel! Look, under me finger, I knew it was there somewhere.
Good, how far is it?
Would you believe it? We're lying in the doorway.
Well, thank you very much. You've been most helpful.
Well, I've got to get back to the station now. I've forgotten the way. How did I say you get there?
First right, first left, first right, first right. No, up the alley, first left, first. No, that's wrong.
Oh, never mind. I'll blow me whistle.
Thank you very much. Hope you find your way back. Good luck, idiot. Hard at last. The Daily Sentinel.
Ah, so this is the mighty voice of the press.
Well, all right, I didn't know.
The giant presses that nightly roar their message to the far corners of Great Britain.
All right, don't keep on.
A basement under a disused barber shop in Fleet Street. I bet there's a pie shop next door.
Oh, shut up. It's probably quite different inside. Go on, open the door. Well, there's a job for you, Andre. When we start, get that door put back.
Where are we? Where is everything?
Don't be so impatient. Wait till the dust settles. there we are, the Daily Sentinel, London office.
Oh, great. I haven't seen so many cobwebs since you last opened your purse. Anybody in? Anybody in? Anybody in?
It's
Well, I don't think the mirror's got anything to fear. Let's get out of here. This place gives me the creeps.
Don't be silly. We've come here to help run the newspaper.
Newspaper? Where's the hum of the giant presses? The clatter of hundreds of typewriters, the jangle of the telephones, the hustle and bustle of hundreds of people rushing about the office.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Tub, that pile of cobwebs just spoke. It's moving over towards us.
A pile of cobwebs? Give us your handkerchief. Dust them all away. There you are. It's me Uncle Palmerston. Hello, Uncle.
Oh, you've come then, have you?
Oh, you recognise me then?
Of course I recognise you. I'd recognise those feet anywhere. Hancock feet, we've all got them. Great big flat things pointing in opposite directions. Who are your friends?
This is Bill Kerr.
Hiya, Grandad.
Granddad? What do you mean, Granddad? You're as young as you feel, and I feel as young as a young... Oh, hello, Missy. What about a kiss for your old Granddad?
All right, Granddad.
Oh. She's all right, isn't she, eh, nephew?
Please, Uncle Andre's my girlfriend. Oh,
nonsense, a little bit of competition won't do you any harm. Now, come on, we've got some work to do. We're going to press in 5 minutes. I want you to watch how we go about it. First of all, we've got to collect all the world news.
Oh, this is more like it. So you've got teletype machines and long-distance radio telephones and cablegrams.
No, we haven't got none of them.
Then how do you get the news?
Pigeons! Come on in here, the newsroom. Hello? Speedy's just come in.
Speedy?
Yes, he's from my Middle East correspondent. Grab his leg and get the message off. Now, oh dear, this will shake the country. This could mean war.
What's wrong?
General Gordon's been killed in Khartoum. I warned my readers in the editorial last week. I told them the fuzzy-wuzzies would rise again. I'd better run a special edition.
Just a minute, Uncle. General Gordon was killed 70 years ago.
Let's have a look at the pigeon's feet. Oh, I thought so. He's walked here again. Let's see what else we've got here. Australian news just flown in. The latest test match score. W.G. Grace Bold McDonald naught. Home news, here you are. Income tax up to a sixpence. This'll spell ruin. They're squeezing us dry. All the best brains will leave the country. I think I'll attack the government in my editorial. Asquith must go. Well, that's it. That'll stir them up.
Uncle, you can't print this news. It's all old stuff.
What do you mean, old? Straight from the pigeon's leg, this is.
This is ridiculous. How can you expect to sell newspapers with that stuff?
Well, there's been no letters to the editor complaining. My readers are quite happy with things the way they are.
How many readers have you got? What's your circulation?
Well, let's see. I'll have to work this one out. I always have one. Then there's one for the file. Harry sometimes has one. Your Aunt Maud always has one. And then they sell them on the street. So I should say about you, oh, easily 14 or 15 copies a day.
14? Granddad, there are papers along Fleet Street that sell 4 million copies a day.
Rubbish! There are only 3 million people in the country.
That was in 1066 when William the Conqueror landed. There's over 50 million people here now.
I knew it. Those Frenchmen, bad influence. I'll write an attack on them next week. Get the Normans out. Anglo-Saxons arise.
A little world of his own, isn't he?
No, stop mumbling. Now, come on. There's work to do. Having collected all the news, we need to take it to the editor. Come on. In here. This is the editor's room.
Who's the editor?
I am. Here you are, Mr. Editor. Here's today's news. Will you check it? Certainly. Yes. Yes, that's all right. You can take it over to the compositor.
Now, wait a minute, Uncle.
Oh, don't stop here. You heard what he said. Take it over to the compositor. Over here. Yes, here we are. Yes, here's his bench. Can you get this set up, compositor? Certainly. How do you want it?
Wait a minute. You're the compositor as well?
Of course I am. Don't interrupt me while I'm talking to this gentleman. We'll have a full page on General Gordon, back page the test batch, and page 2 income tax. You can fill the rest with adverts. All right? Yes. Yeah. Wait a minute. There's a spelling mistake here. Is there?
Look, Uncle.
Wait a minute. The man's noticed a spelling mistake. Well, I'm sorry, it's not my fault. The editor passed it. Well, take it back to him and get it corrected. I can't. I haven't got time. I'll get the copy boy to take it. The copy boy, come here. Yes, sir. What do you want? Take this over to the editor and tell him...
Look, we can't go through all this again. Now, let's get it printed. Let's see how you do it. We must learn the business.
All right, then. The printing press is over here. Of course, I'm the printer as well, you know.
Yes, I thought you might be.
Yes. I hope everything goes all right. Only last week we had a bit of trouble with the shop steward. He called us all out.
Well, now, this is a stupid question, but who is the shop steward?
Guest.
You?
No, it's Harry. I can't do everything myself.
No, all right, come on. Start printing the paper.
Here's the printing press.
What? This? It looks like a converted mangle.
It is. Now, put the paper in like you would a blanket. That's it. Right, roll 'em. Right, that's page one. Peg it out on the line to dry. That's it. With a bit of luck, we'll be on the streets in a couple of days.
Yes, with all the furniture as well. This is no way to run a newspaper. We've got to modernise it. Build some new machinery. Print up-to-date news. Get some special features going. You leave it to me. I'll increase your circulation for you. We'll make this into one of the finest and most widely read newspapers in Fleet Street.
Well, here's the proposed layout, Tup.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
My eye shade don't bother you, does it? It's not too 1920-ish.
No, it's great.
Good. Now, look, I've been studying this newspaper, Lark. I've read all today's newspapers, and I've found out the general policy on how to make a successful newspaper. Rule number one, and the most important thing of all, only put important world news in if you've got nothing else to fill it up with. Secondly, use as few words as you possibly can. Instead, lots of strip cartoons with not too many words in the bubbles. People don't like words these days. It confuses them. Keep it simple. You know, crosswords with easy clues and a few letters already put in to help them on a bit.
Well, we're running an 8-page issue. How do you want it split up?
8 pages, yes. Well, we'll have 5 pages of sport, 2 pages of cartoons, 1 page of the stars and you, a day in the life of Rock Hudson, and how to get your man stroke woman depending on what sex you are.
How about pin-up girls?
Essential. Never do any good if we don't have them in. Golden rule in Fleet Street. Use any excuse to put in a woman showing a lot of herself. If it's been cold, shove in a photo of a girl wearing just a fur muff and a headline, brrr, coldest in 80 years.
And if it's been hot?
Same photograph, but take the muff off and put in a watering can. Now, future policy. In the sports pages, I want you to write an article condemning bullfighting as cruel, sadistic, savage and bloodthirsty, because the British don't like that sort of thing. But write it as cruel, sadistic, savage and bloodthirsty as you can, because they love reading about it. And if we get short of material, we can always fall back on teenage drinking orgies in after-dark jazz clubs. The danger is facing young girls who come to London looking for work. Sells like hotcakes, that does. Especially if you can get it on placard outside the shop.
Do you think we ought to put in a political cartoon to show them whose side we're on?
No. We're not on anybody's side. We're independent, having a bash at whoever comes second in the Gallup polls. Right. With those contents, we can't fail. Circulation of 14. Oh, dear. 4 million before the week's out. Start the presses! We're going to shake Fleet Street to its very foundation.
Star, News, Standard and Sentinel!
Get your Daily Sentinel, all the news, Glasgow, Evening Citizen and the Sentinel.
Pepper, get your Sentinel, read all about it, Bach.
Well, that's it. The first day's publication has swept the country. 4 million copies printed. I wonder how many we've sold.
Well, I've got the circulation sheet here.
Oh, good. How many?
12.
Only 12?
Yeah, two of our older readers died of shock when they read it.
Well, I can't understand it. I put in all the same stuff the other papers do. Where did we go wrong?
Well, I'll tell you. You missed out on the one thing that sells more newspapers than anything else. The most important ingredient. Crime. You had no spicy court cases. No Sunday breakfast is complete without those. You must expose something. You've got to take the lid off London's underworld every now and then.
Well, how do we do that, then?
Well, hire a crime reporter. Find yourself another Duncan Webb, an expert, someone familiar with a criminal mind. Find a man who knows more about crime than anyone else in the country.
When do I start?
Sydney James. I didn't think we were going to see you this week.
No, I had my doubts too. But I thought I'd better pop in and help you out with this newspaper lark.
Oh, I wish you would. We're in dead trouble. Nobody's buying the paper.
Oh, I see. Not selling, eh? Well, there's several ways of getting over that. Let's see now. One method that appeals to my sense of humour is to issue all the newsboys with coshes.
No, Sid, I don't think so.
Oh, well, there's other ways. What's the name of your paper?
The Daily Sentinel.
Well, there you are. Change the name. Call it the Daily Mirror. You'll get away with it for a couple of days, then change it to the Daily Express, then the Daily Herald, then the Daily Mail, and so on. By then, you should have made more than enough money to cover the lawsuits.
No, Sid, look, you've got the wrong idea. What we thought was we'd specialise in crime news, and we'd like you to be the man who digs it up for us.
Are you asking me to expose the activities of all my friends? Men who trust me, lifelong comrades, men with whom I've spent long, pleasant evenings, deep in conversation, tapped out on the hot water pipes in Dartmoor.
No, look, Sid, I mean, after all...
How could I have tea with Edwardian Fred and his missus after exposing him as the cleaner and presser in the Dirty Pound Note Gang?
Yes, but...
No, I'm sorry, I won't do it. I refuse to rat on my friends. There's honour amongst thieves, you know. I won't do it. You'll have to get somebody else. I refuse to do the dirty on my mates.
It's worth £20 a week.
They're a menace to society, all of them. And the sooner they're exposed, the better it'll be for everybody.
Now you're talking, Sid. And when can we have the first column?
Well, you can have it now if you like. Take this down. Head it, Stop Following Me Around by Sid James. The three men who escaped from Dartmoor Prison last month are still at large. The police have completely failed in their efforts to recapture them. This is not surprising, as the first thing the men did on escaping was join the Devonshire Constabulary and have since been on four manhunts looking for themselves.
This is great stuff.
Yeah. I can now tell my readers why the police didn't catch the Bond Street Smash and Grab gang yesterday morning. The crooks were too smart for them. During the night, they crept into Scotland Yard and emptied all the antifreeze out of the patrol cars.
This is the stuff to give them. I tell you what, Sid, for every sensational exclusive crime story you bring in, I'll give you a bonus. And they've got to be bang up to date, mind, and no other papers must get hold of it.
It's a deal. Blimey. I'll make a fortune out of this.
Sentinel exclusive. Special report from their crime correspondent.
Half an hour ago, Barcelona Bertie, Harry Hellbrook and Ginger Tom broke into a fur warehouse in Aldgate and got away with 20,000 quid's worth of fur coats. The police had better get a move on because at this very moment they're being stripped down, cut up and turned into Davy Crockett hats.
Marvellous. Just look. Circulation up to 200,000. Good old Sid.
Sensational robbery in Mayfair.
10 minutes ago, thieves broke into the Mayfair home of the Earl of Bayswater, and while the family were watching television, carried out a very daring robbery. They stole the television set.
Look, circulation's up to 1 million. He's a good lad, that Sid. He's worked wonders since he's been here.
Read all about it! Another Sentinel crime sensation!
Gang warfare hits London. After reading my column yesterday, a rival gang broke into an empty house in Stepney and stole 20,000 Davy Crockett hats. Stripped them, cut them up and made them into earmuffs. The police had better get a move on before they disappear altogether.
Sid, I must congratulate you. You've been with us 3 weeks now, and in that time, the Sentinel has built up the biggest daily circulation in the world. It's all through your column. The speed you get the news through. Well, I tell you, Scotland Yard have done away with 999. They just read the Sentinel nowadays. I don't know how you do it.
I've got my methods.
And very successful they are. I've never seen such quick reporting in all my life. It's uncanny. The way you get to know about these things. 16 crimes you've reported this week before the police have known anything about them.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes. Here you are. Here's me bit for today's edition. At 4:30 this afternoon, the mysterious masked bandit of Bond Street struck again. He broke open a jeweller's shop and got away with a small fortune in diamonds.
Very good, Sid. Did you say 4:30?
Yeah.
But it's only 2:10.
I know. I better get a move on.
Yeah, wait a minute. What do you mean?
Well, I want to be on the spot when it happens, don't I?
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Silly me. Eyewitness account.
Exactly.
Sid, who do you reckon's behind all these crimes you've been reporting?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, come on, you must have some idea. You've been on the spot every time they've happened.
Look, as long as you get the news, that's all you've got to worry about. I'll see you later. I might miss the mysterious masked band if I don't get a move on.
Yeah, all right. Oh, Sid, is this brick yours? You left it on the desk.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. See ya.
What a marvellous reporter that man is. I don't know how he finds out about these things. I'm sure I don't. He's been on the spot every time.
This is all your fault, Antony. Worst day's work. I did ask you to help me run the Sentinel.
Oh, don't keep on. How was I to know Sid was behind all those robberies?
You should have seen through him. An obvious scoundrel if ever I saw one. You're an idiot. That's your trouble. Take after your father.
Oh, shut it.
70 years I was running the Sentinel without a breath of a scandal. And now this, closed down, taken away from me. They think we put that Mr. James after doing all those robberies to make news and boost our circulation. Oh, the disgrace, the disgrace.
I shall hit him in a minute.
A millionaire all my life. I meet you and I'm broke.
Well, I don't know what you're worrying about. I know you haven't got the Sentinel, but you're still in the newspaper business. That man was kind enough to make you editor of this newspaper. A chance to get back all your old glory. Now, come on. Get those presses going.
You're all right.
There you are. Lovely. The Dartmoor Gazette. Happy event in cell 6. Last night, Charlie the Mole escaped again.
Oh, the disgrace.
Oh, he keeps on, doesn't he?
Editor of a prison newspaper. 20 years of peace they've given us.
Well, what are you moaning about? I'll have to do mine. Come on, roll off page 2. That's it. Your columnist here is the warder's daughter, is that away about Freddy the Fox. We saw them last night holding hands through the cell bars. Kenneth's shoes and rice when he gets out. Come on, get the press turning. We've got 400 copies to do before dawn.
You have been listening to Hancock's Half Hour, starring Kevin McNally with Kevin Eldon, Simon Greenall, Susie Kane, David Kahn, and Robin Sebastian. Incidental music was composed by Wally Stott and played by the BBC Concert Orchestra, conducted by Levin Parikian. The show, which was recorded, was written by Ray Galton and Alan Simpson and produced by Ed Morrish and Neil Pearson.